Good evening and welcome in the name of Jesus Christ to yet again another virtual service. This one is one of my favorites, in fact, the Ascension Day service. I don't know why. I wear it as kind of a badge of honor, I guess. Maybe that's why I like it so much. There are very few churches who celebrate Jesus' ascension, who set aside a specific service just for that event. But we know that just as Jesus' birth is important, and just as his life is important, and his crucifixion and resurrection are important, well, of course, the very last moment of his earthly ministry, his ascension into heaven, is also very important for us. And so, as we listen to our readings, as we hear our sermon proclaimed today, I pray that the Lord will open your heart and open your mind to understand why the ascension is so important. With that being said, we will be using the service of prayer and preaching for our service today. And so, if you're unfamiliar with that service, please grab the church website from the description below and load the service outline, the service bulletin, the service folder thing, and that way you can follow along. But as always, I'll try to make sure that things are on the screen, that way everyone can follow along as easily as possible. So with that being said, we sing together our opening hymn. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our first reading for this evening comes from Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given command through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way
as you saw him go into heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading comes from Ephesians chapter 1. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our third and final reading for this evening comes from Luke chapter 24. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, we are going to continue with the common responsory. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. At this time, we confess the basics of our faith. The Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our ascension text from Luke 24 today shared these words. Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And Acts gives us a little more detail. It says, as the disciples were looking on, Jesus was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Thus ended Jesus' earthly ministry. That was it. He ascended and he was gone. His mission on earth had been completed. It had taken him more than 30 years to make it to that point, but now it was at its end. So he was born of the Virgin Mary, and he lived a sinless life even in the midst of temptations. He performed all kinds of miracles to show God's compassion for his people. Then he died, crucified on a cross, shedding his blood, only to raise victorious 3 days later from the grave. Jesus opened the way to heaven. And then, for 40 days after his resurrection, he showed himself alive to his disciples and to those who were gathered around. And what happened? But after he proved himself to be well alive, he left. He ascended to reign from heaven at God's right hand as he ascends into the clouds. In many ways, this idea of Jesus leaving and going up into heaven, in some ways, it kind of brings some despair into our hearts. Because we consider that life would actually be a whole lot better if Jesus were here. I mean, certainly, in the midst of what we're dealing with now, it'd be nice if Jesus could somehow, you know, lay his hands on somebody and miraculously heal them, or if he could, you know, snap his fingers and make everything go away. We wish we could bring Jesus back down to heaven, from heaven, because we imagine life would be much better. And in fact, we're right. When Jesus does come again from the clouds, life will be much better. We will be very much better off because Jesus will finally put away sin and death for all time. But until that day, we must consider that Jesus' ascension is actually a great gift. And so today, especially of all days in the church, we reflect on how Jesus is still working. Because his ascension was not some sort of divine retirement plan where now he just gets to live the cushy life and do whatever he wants while he sits up there. No, he is still performing his salvation work. Only now, instead of being an earthly ministry, human form Jesus amongst us, now he's working in a different way. Jesus tells his disciples, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. It means that now that Jesus' work of dying and rising for the world has been accomplished, now he begins a work of taking that message. Taking that message of his death and resurrection out into the world. And who has he chosen for this task? Eyewitnesses. Now, obviously, we know that the eyewitnesses primarily are those disciples that followed Jesus throughout his earthly ministry, those who were physically there and alive at the time when Jesus was alive.
Those who used their own ears to hear him preach and used their own eyes as they saw him perform his miracles and the things that he did for the world. But don't forget that you too are an eyewitness. Maybe not in the same kind of way, but you too have followed Jesus. You have followed him through the pages of Scripture. You have followed him throughout his earthly ministry. You too have heard him preach. Because the Scriptures for us, they become this window through which we get to look back into the past to see all of the things that Jesus did throughout his earthly ministry. At Christmas, you get to be at Jesus' birth. You get to see his miracles. The wedding at Cana, you're there. When Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, you get to be there. And of course, when he dies on the cross, when he rises from the dead. And even today, as we focus on the ascension, the truth is that in some ways, you get to be there. And when you're given faith to believe what the Scriptures tell us about all of the things that your Savior has done, you cannot help but be his witnesses. We cannot help but share the gospel truth with those around us. And this brings us to really why the ascension is such a wonderful miracle. Jesus promised in Matthew 28, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And he's obviously not with us according to a human form anymore. But the truth is that he is still with us. He has promised to be with you every day of your life, especially as the church gathers. You know, any time that two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, it means that a Christian is pronouncing or proclaiming something that Jesus has done, whether it be a miracle or his birth or his death or his resurrection, something that Jesus has done for the world. Whenever it's proclaimed in the midst of people, Jesus has promised he would be there across the entire world. If Jesus is still stuck in a bodily human form, that becomes so much more difficult because how can he be here and also over there and also, you know, in the town next door and also halfway across the world? As he rules from heaven, he has this ability to be omnipresent across all places, everywhere in the world, everywhere where two or three are gathered. Jesus is there every time a new believer enters God's kingdom through the waters of baptism, because he's promised to be. Jesus is there every time the body and blood are distributed in with and under the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, because he has promised to be. Jesus is with us by these means of grace, the word and sacraments that he established, the things that he left behind because he knew he would have to ascend into heaven. He knew he would be ruling from the heavenly realm, and he knew that we wouldn't see him any longer, not in his human form. And so now we cling to him by faith as we hear his word and as we receive his gifts. This is why his ascension is not a departure from saving work, but rather his ascension is an important part of the salvation message being declared the world over. His ascension and his reign from heaven give us an assurance that he is with us wherever we go. It is this presence of Jesus amongst us that actually empowers us to do exactly what Jesus has told his disciples to do. It is because we believe that Jesus is with us that we can do these words. Proclaim repentance for the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name to all nations. What that means is it means that this would be a pretty poor sermon if you didn't hear these words. Your sins are forgiven in Jesus' death and resurrection. And it would be a very poor Ascension Day sermon if I didn't encourage you to share those words with all those who are around you. By his ascension into heaven, Jesus is with you always. He doesn't leave you to this task all on your own, is nothing to be afraid of. But in your proclamation of the word, he unites himself to you, and he unites himself to all those around you. And in him, the kingdom of God is extended. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For seasonable weather, and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, as your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, ascended into the heavens, so may we also ascend in heart and mind, and continually dwell there with him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Bless, Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. Again, thank you for tuning into our service. This would normally be the time when we would have our ice cream social, because this was our last midweek service all the way up until Thanksgiving. And so I don't know if you guys have ice cream at home, but I'm not going to miss out. And so I'll go ahead and get mine. God's blessings.